Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation. Only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Here he is, David Holland.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, well, we've all been watching and following in the news the rollout and then unraveling and repair and mixed bag and all kinds of stuff, all kinds of adjectives I could use to describe Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act or Unaffordable Care Act, depending on your perspective and opinion. And so, you know what I thought would be helpful? And quite frankly, this is a little bit of selfishness on my part. I'm very curious to have the perspective and expertise of an actual doctor who can help us understand what's happening with Obamacare. Is it going to work? Is it not? What are we dealing with here? And so, very conveniently, we were able to find Dr. Mark Davis. He is a medical doctor and also the author of three best-selling books. And his new book, Obamacare, Dead on Arrival, A Prescription for Disaster, is available Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all those places where you can get good books. And so I invited Dr. Davis to be on the program. Dr. Davis, welcome.
Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
It is my pleasure indeed. Thank you so much. Okay, so let's go right to brass tacks, bottom line, apolitical. What are we dealing with here? Is this going to improve medical care and access to quality medical care in our country?
In one word, no. The program called Obamacare, also called PPACA, the Patient Affordability Act that we all talk about, was signed into law on March 23rd, 2010. Prior to its signing into law, they knew, the people that concocted this massive disaster, that it wouldn't work. The paradigm, the algorithms, the very underlying foundation of this law could not work. We're watching the exchanges unfold right now, and they are a disaster all over the country. Let me put it in perspective. There's a national exchange. An exchange is a marketplace where people can go to buy insurance, and there are 14 state exchanges here in Maryland. They spent over $100 million, and it doesn't work. They already fired the head of the exchange. New people are coming in. As the Americans may be aware, the federal exchange now will be run by a former Microsoft executive. So what happened was, this is a plan put forth that they knew would fail. It's a Ponzi scheme, and we can go into that later. Also, they want to want, they as the government, Obama administration, and the Democrats specifically, we're trying to stay apolitical, but it's going to be hard, a one-payer system, which would mean they want the government to control all aspects of healthcare and be the payer of first choice. So it's not going to work. It's not working. We see it's not working. And every day there are new executive orders and or HHS regulatory structures coming out, changing the very law, which they can't do because it was passed into law. They're circumventing the Congress and changing it as they feel at free will.
Let's start with this because I'm very curious about your perspective on this. Why aren't the exchanges working?
Well, first, they had over three and a half years to put it together. Secondly, they're very complex. Each insurance company that's part of that marketplace has dozens of pages of things that people need to fill out. Third, there are pages in there about IRS. There are pages in there about your social background, medical history, things. There's just too much to handle for the system. And you multiply that by each insurance company that's in there, and the pages have to work properly, and they're not. In addition, it has to validate that you bought the insurance, which it's not. It's too complex to put into a system that they're trying to. They're overreaching, literally. Computers cannot handle it at this point in time. And one of my daughters is a master in IT. And she says she doesn't see how it's going to work, and she works for the government. So I can tell you, it's a disaster.
Well, here's a fundamental question, because there are certainly plenty of people with different opinions on Obamacare and whether, you know, what was the intent. And some, you know, some people say, well, it was well intended, but they made some mistakes. You know, that's kind of the cover for them, talking points that we hear in some media outlets. But I guess one of the fundamental things is, from your perspective, Doctor, what do you think they were trying to do with bringing this and you know, they passed it with a procedural maneuver with the Senate and the House. I remember that. But what are they really trying to accomplish with this legislation?
First of all, people need to know, they passed it by 221 to 218. That was the last vote in the House. They were passed it. They were giveaways to the three or four people that helped get it through, Bridge here, a gymnasium there, whatever. So that was exactly what you said. It was procedural in nature. What they're trying to do is control every aspect of medical care, but it goes beyond that. It allows the IRS to get into your background as a financial show. You know more about this area than I do, and you would see that intricate to the bill itself, threaded throughout the 2,300 pages, is references to the IRS at every level. There are sanctions and penalties in there from the IRS at every level. What they try to achieve is full coverage for the entire nation for health insurance by a number of ways, from kicking us at the backside with penalties that you must buy it, to basically dictating health care to people that may or may not want it. Health care in terms of what we need personally, instead of us making the decision for ourselves, the government will make a decision for them. For us, I think that it's completely erroneous in concept.
Dr. Mark Davis has joined us today, ladies and gentlemen. He's a medical doctor and author of three best-selling books. The latest book, Obamacare, Dead on Arrival, A Prescription for Disaster. And we're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back, and I want to ask the doctor several more questions, so stay right there.
If you had a serious health issue, wouldn't you want a second opinion? Is your financial well-being any different? Make sure your retirement plan is the best it can be for your situation. An independent financial advisor can review key elements like stock market exposure, diversification, and fees. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
And we are back with Dr. Mark Davis, medical doctor and author of three best-selling books. And he has written Obamacare, Dead on Arrival, Prescription for Disaster. And I think many people would agree with the title. Some might, argue, and that's why I think it's so essential, Dr. Davis, to have the opinion and opinions of medical doctors who, I'm not sure how much they were really consulted when this was all being put together. Maybe not at all. But, you know, one of the things that is often put on the table, or is, again, another talking point for those that are in favor of this legislation, is that, well, you know, the system was broken before. So, you know, yeah, maybe our solution isn't perfect, but golly, it was all broken before, implying that our system was somehow just a disaster itself. And, you know, I know that there are people that aren't and were not covered, but wasn't the system pretty good before they came along and put this new program in place?
Under traditional insurance, about 85% of the country was covered either through basic historical insurance companies, medical assistance, Medicare, or other programs the government put out. There was approximately 15% of people they claim were not covered for any or number of reasons. Some of these people may have been, they just didn't want insurance.
Yeah.
Other people may have been from our friends from south of the border. Other people may just don't have the funds to buy insurance. They could have taken care of that group, the 15%, instead of changing 85%. Now, if you look at Romney Care, which is in the book, they had 92% coverage at the time, 2006, when that legislation was written. They wanted to encompass 8% more people. At the time of about 2011, 2012, they have brought in 4% of those people without funds, with more government funds, more government benefits. So everything that the government is supporting, it's a major redistribution of wealth. As the point you made about the doctors supporting it or not, the AMA hierarchy, those are the guys that run the show there, they went for it. The main body of doctors did not. Remember, the AMA only has about one-third of all doctors under their wing. So Physicians, by and large, do not want this. I think it was a 70% in the last poll.
So from your perspective, doctor, you know, the system itself, yes, maybe it, quote-unquote, only covered 85%, but, you know, 85% is not too bad. Sure. There could have been a lot of other alternatives. Yeah. You know, we could have expanded Medicare or Medicaid or taken some other approach to, to pick up the other people. And my frustration when I hear a lot of these, and I try to stay in the middle and try not to, you know, take, quote-unquote, a side, but it does seem like all of the apologists and the defenders for this legislation all seem to want to paint that our medical and health care was so bad. And, you know, seems to me all the foreign leaders or wealthy people from around the world all come to the United States for surgery. I wonder why.
Why? Because it's the best system in the world prior to Obamacare. People are fooling themselves, think the system's going to improve. As we've seen already in phase one, which is the exchange implementation, that's a disaster. Now, try to think how they're going to do phase two, which is the implementation of the regulatory structure on all health care in the United States. If it took 3.5 years to get to the point where they're making this disastrous mistake by putting the exchanges in, think how long it'll take to put phase two together, the control of medical care. I think it's going to take decades if they could ever reach a point where they can control all Medicare. Let me just put it in perspective. There are almost 5,900 registered hospitals in this country. There are 900,000 physicians. There are nearly 3 million nurses, millions of more auxiliary people that support the health system. How are they going to control that? How are they going to control placing a treatment plan for every kind of disease? I use chapter one called The System just to give an example of what presents to an emergency room in one night. I'm that doctor in that emergency room, by the way. Mm-hmm. And it shows chemotherapies going bad, suicides, car crashes, heart attacks. How are they going to regulate that? Are they going to tell us not to treat too much, not to be aggressive? What's emanating from Washington right now, for the last point, is a number of studies telling us to back off on care, not to do as much laboratory work, not to give high-end drugs. This is what's coming down the pike right now. And the word people hate to hear, what is going to come, is called rationing. And that's what we're seeing right now. And it's not even in place yet.
Yeah, and I guess the question is, and because some people would say, well, that's not really what this is really about. Is that a fair way to put it? I mean, isn't that what we're going to end up with? And, you know, the other thing that really drives me a little bit crazy on this, doctor, is it strikes me as awfully presumptuous that the government is going to step in and tell you, a medical professional and somebody with decades of experience, how you are to, you know, check this box, do this, do that. I just don't see how. I just don't get that.
Well, what it is, they believe that they can do a better job of making choices for us than we can, and they're using the taxing authority to force us into situations that we should not be in. If a government official has to regulate the basic blood pressure pills that I give, which is, I'll go into that if you have time, blood pressure medications that we're giving out, that's insane. Yeah, was it 2 days ago, a study came out saying for seniors, people over 60 years of age, to back off on giving too much hypertension medications. And
I saw that.
Cutoffs and thresholds. So those drugs generally could extend lifespan maybe by 2 or 3 years, according to the article that emanated forth. But why give it to us? We have a biological value. If we're not contributing after 60 much, why should we be getting more medical care? We should be getting less in the government's mind. So there's many ways of thinking where the government's going with this, but at the end point, it is still rationing.
The book is Obamacare, Dead on Arrival, A Prescription for Disaster. Dr. Mark Davis is our guest. Stay right there, quick break, and we'll be right back.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read, you'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Welcome back. Dr. Mark Davis is our guest, medical doctor and author of 3 best-selling books. He's practiced it, so he has some important perspective for us here today. The book is Obamacare, Dead on Arrival, A Prescription for Disaster. So, doctor, I want to kind of circle back around. You know, we talk about the staged implementation of Obamacare and how they're rolling this out and what they're doing, and they're having problems with the massive problems with the exchanges, and they're playing catch up, and they've hired an ex-Microsoft exec. Is that what you said earlier?
Correct,
to come in and now what's he going to do? Is he going to fix it?
He's going to try. I don't think he's going to be very successful. Microsoft has had their own problems recently.
Okay.
Every time they've been releasing software, it's been the beta software, the experimental software.
Wow.
They've had so much trouble with Windows 8's out right now, and we're having a lot of trouble adapting it to the medical systems that we have.
Well, here's my question now to follow up on that in terms of this implementation. You know, one of the things that we recently experienced, you know, out here in the real world, you know, not in Washington, is I had my health insurance renewal for my company. And we, thank God, have a very good insurance agent who helped us navigate through the renewal. And we, you know, for 16 years, I've covered my employees with health insurance, and we've had increases. Fair to say, we've had increases in the cost of the premium. However, we haven't ever had a jump like this. So with her assistance, we were able to do a renewal early and hold our increase just to 20%, okay, which I'm absorbing. But here's the problem, doctor. If we hadn't done that, we would have seen, for some of our employees, we would have seen premium increases of as much as 100%.
Yes.
And so next year, when it's this time around, if something hasn't been done, we may see a true doubling of the cost of our premium. I don't see that improving health care for my employees.
You have to see where, you should ask a question, where is this money going? Why is this such an increase? People are not answering. Some of the books that are out there are not answering these questions. They're out there to tell us we're going to survive this. We're not going to survive anything.
Well, what they'll say is, well, but we have to, you know, it's going to be some increases because we've got to, you know, we got to get better coverage and we got to fix these holes in coverage that exists.
Well, as a 60-year-old plus guy here, do I need obstetrical care in my policy? Do I need psychotherapy? Do I need to have birth control pills? But that's forced on me.
We
that
might all need psychotherapy
Davis,
after this
that
is
over.
That's
forced on the host of this show.
Yeah.
And they're adding too many things to the policies. They're just raising. The other part is the administrative cost of doing all this is going to the government, and they're running the show, so they have to be paid somehow. So your policy amounts are going down towards Washington, D.C., which is about 70 miles south of me here.
Here's another question I wanted to ask you is, how do they get away with, and I guess that's the best way to put it, you know, you have a law, but they keep coming back to it and making changes. Why isn't there any type of repercussion or anybody saying, no, you can't do that? Why are they able to make changes to it without going through proper legislative change to amend the law?
That's the way it's supposed to be. There have been approximately 35 attempts either changing and or eliminating the law in the House of Representatives. We have a very lame Congress right now with a few vocal leaders, but the rest are just lame. They don't want to get involved. When they had the shutdown recently, there was a political tidal wave that came forth on top of their heads. So they don't want that. President Obama is not supposed to do what he's doing with executive orders. Health and Human Secretary is changing the law by using the regulatory structure that she has under her hands. She's a non-elected person. They're not allowed to do this. This skirts basic constitutional principle that the legislator is supposed to do this, not the executive branch. The executive branch carries forth things. They don't create things. That's where the legislators come in.
Well, that's where it's puzzling to me, doctor, because, you know, and again, I'm trying not to make this political, but here's the problem. Part of what's going on here is there are certain, I mean, let's just call it like it is. There are certain parts of the media that are staunchly and strongly behind this legislation and supporting the president. And it seems like, you know, to me, that they do everything they can to defend and deflect. If this were, go back a few years, if this had been President Bush doing this, they'd have been all over him.
Yeah, that's correct. There would be. Well, to counterbalance that, and I'm not on a Hillary side, they tried in the early 1990s to put Hillary care forth.
Right.
That was beaten down by all quarters, including the Democrats and the Republicans, because it was a horrible. It's in the book I wrote about it, but, you know, I have a little balance here. I try to make this neutral, but you can't.
Yeah.
It'll fall political no matter which way you cut it. And I have those discussions in the book. There are a lot of good discussions and examples of how this is going to fall out in the next couple of years. If people read this book, they'll see how their health care will be in 2016, 2018, how doctors will be treated under this. And a lot of the best and brightest will not want to go to medical school. They'll probably become lawyers. This is a legal fantasy land for lawyers, if you want to go into that aspect.
Well, I tell you what, we will. We'll do that in just a minute. I tell you that just a final thought on that is it just strikes me that a lot of people, regardless of their political, you know, whether there's a D or R or an I on their voter registration, I've talked to a lot of people that you might assume might support or somebody might assume, but there's a lot of them that are not happy at all with how this is playing out. In fact, I have to tell you, you'll really appreciate this, Doctor. I bumped into two gentlemen that I know are staunch Democrats. And I bumped into them at Publix the other day, and I wasn't surprised that they were acquainted. They were standing talking to each other, but I knew each of them individually. And I came up to them and I said, "Gentlemen, I just want to let you know there's a fully functional, 100% working version of the Obamacare exchange over on aisle 7. If you hurry, run over." But here's what's great. They both laughed and they both shook their heads. And, you know, it's not like, they can say anything other than, "Look, it's just not working." But it is a mystery. Let's do this. Let's grab a quick break. We'll come back. I want to hear your thoughts about the legal part of all of this. You're just joining us, Dr. Mark Davis, medical doctor and author of three best-selling books. Current book, Obamacare, Dead on Arrival, A Prescription for Disaster. Stay right there.
What's your dream? Play golf every day of the week? Turn that hobby into a new career? With careful planning, you can make it happen. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your no-obligation consultation. At Holland Financial, we want to help you take the first step towards making your dreams a reality. That number again is 888-747-7526.
And we are back. Lucky us, we have Dr. Mark Davis on the line with us, a medical doctor and author of three best-selling books, a physician for three decades. I think that certainly qualifies him to weigh in on Obamacare and what we will be seeing. Now, you mentioned before the break, Doctor, that part of what's going on here, or part of the, I guess, a nuance or a byproduct of this is a very legal laced law, a very, very legal issue. What are some of the issues that could result in litigation or legal ramifications in your mind?
It would take about 6 hours of that, but I'll synergize it to 30
seconds. You will do it in 6 minutes.
I think it was 30 seconds.
Okay.
This is a legal fantasy land for lawyers. It provides hundreds of avenues for lawyers to come in from the public and private side and sue companies, insurance companies, regular businesses, institutions, down the line to the individual. The law allows attorney generals of each state appoint private attorneys to go out and sue people and collect these fees. And each individual state, especially if they're blue states, Democratic states, they will probably intensely do this down the road.
Who will they be going after? Doctors, hospitals?
Doctors, hospitals, individuals specifically who don't buy insurance.
Wow.
Try to collect the penalties. Right now, as the penalties are set up on individuals, there's no further hammer that the IRS has. They don't have the ability to lien. But that's going to come down the pike soon enough. They start with just the light, and then they go into the heavy kind of hammers that they have. There are more sanctions and penalties in the Obamacare bill than there are health initiatives in there. And you can see it. And you can see it's written end-to-end by attorneys. So it's written in legalese, and you have to sit with a legal dictionary when you're reading this thing.
Well, maybe that's why the legislators decided to skip reading it.
That's
correct. You can read it with your attorney, or your attorney can read it to you after you pass it.
Absolutely.
Talk about your bedtime stories. Boy, that's a rough one.
Once upon a time, there was an insurance policy.
Well, here's a great question I think that we can kind of focus in on, because I know that you write about this in your book. Talk to me about the end game here. Is there, I suppose if we have another election that, there's a shift in the control in the House and maybe in the White House, that there could be an undoing or putting the car in reverse, so to speak.
Yes.
Is that our only hope? Is there
right now, what they could do is cut around the edges, try to improve it if they could. I believe, personally, it's going to implode under its own weight.
Mm.
It will never ever be fully implemented, and that full implementation will not come till 2020 at the government's projection right now. Financially, it's not tenable, and physically implying all the regulatory structure to get to the point where Obamacare wants to be is impossible. It was designed to fail. People will find that. I don't care if they're Democrats or Republicans. I read this stuff. I owned and operated health care facilities, and they're managing them for people, and these are large facilities. I know how the government works. They cut, but they demand, man. They want more services for less money, and it just doesn't fall that way. People have to be paid. The other thing needs to be said, the people listening to this show deserve better. And it doesn't matter if they're on medical assistance, on pensions, wherever they fall in the scheme of life, they deserve better than what they're going to get from their government. Because this is a stinker, and we all know it's a stinker. And even the people that are get help from the government right now, they're going to find what they were advertised and what they were told by the president and his minions is not what they're going to get down the road.
Well, you know, I think that the American consumer, again, regardless of their political persuasion, when you start hitting them in their pocketbook, yeah. I always have this running joke that regardless of where somebody is politically, they don't want to pay more taxes themselves. They want you to pay more tax,
that's
but
right.
They themselves, no matter what the overall arching tax policy is, they themselves don't want to pay more taxes, but they'd like you to. So when it comes to their own pocketbook and they start being denied care or they start not being able to do things and they start hearing about other consumers being affected, you know, that's where the American consumer really does respond, and that might be part of the implosion you're talking about.
Have you noticed that the billionaires in this country have been very, very quiet on Obamacare? They haven't said a word. Many of them have 50, 100,000 employees under their belt, and they've not said much about this horrific legislation. Why, you must ask? You know, because it would affect them negatively. Right now, they're supporting it. I understand Bill Gates supports it. Warren Buffett. He supports it as well. But now he's come out and saying, well, maybe we should do this. Maybe now they're moving more towards the middle than where they were at the left because they own these huge companies. So
it's going
to
come in the pocketbook, right?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, that's where we get their attention. And,
yeah.
You know, I don't have a lot of patience for billionaires talking about what we all of us should be doing.
That's right.
You know, a billionaire telling a millionaire what to do is like somebody with $1 million telling a person with
$1,000
what to do.
Well, telling a thousandaire here
yeah.
on this side of the phone who has a comfortable middle-class lifestyle, I'm not interested in telling them if I need a prostate test, I want my prostate checked. I don't want to hear some phony government study which they've put out on prostate, which is in the book.
Right.
Well, a woman needs a mammogram in their 30s and say, well, you can't have a routine mammogram until you're 50 unless there's a genetic history or something. That's nonsense.
Hmm.
And the people need to know if an older person needs a hip replacement, we'll give you a cane and a couple of Tylenol. That's their perspective on this. You want nursing home care? Sure. We'll give you $50 to your daughter. She'll take care of you every week instead of putting you into a long-term care facility. This is what's coming down the pike. Death panels, no. Just rationing, and when they ration care or they reduce the ability to get care, that's the sort of death panel on this, especially when you get older and you need care at that time. People are not going to get what they want. We've been lied to and we'll continue to be lied to by the government. Every day there's another vocal emanation from the White House. There was one today on Obamacare. So it's almost every day they're trying to control some aspect of this horrific war. And you know why? Because it's uncontrollable. When you touch over here, the ramification happens over there. So how do you control something? It's a behemoth.
Yeah.
What do you do with a behemoth? You cut its head off and get rid of it. And that's where you get rid of it, and you start fresh. And that's what you need to do here. And we don't have anybody on the horizon with the strength and the virtue to take this behemoth on. Maybe to be a Sir Galahad out there somewhere.
Well, I sure hope so. But we've been very fortunate to have you, Dr. Mark Davis, on the line with us, medical doctor, author, 3 best-selling books, the latest Obamacare, Dead on Arrival, A Prescription for Disaster. Dr. Davis, we'll have you back on and keep us up to date on how this thing's unfolding.
It was my pleasure. It was an excellent interview. Thank you so much.
Thank you much. Yes.
Okay.
Bye-bye now.
Bye. Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.